Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Democrats on the Senate Armed Services Committee grilled Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth about a sexual assault allegation and his past drinking. Oklahoma Republican Mark Wayne Mullen called it liberal hypocrisy.
How many senators have showed up drunk to vote at night? Have any of you guys asked them to step down and resign from their job?
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass is urging residents to be ready to evacuate with winds gusting again.
Firefighters who've been on the job for 25, 30 years, that in their entire careers, they have never seen destruction like this. They have never seen wind so fierce.
CBS's Stacey Lynn reports the Biden administration will lift the U.S. designation of Cuba as a state sponsor of terrorism.
They said an assessment has been complete, which provided no evidence to support the current designation, which was put in place by Donald Trump during the final days of his first term.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Dropping enrollment is a problem educators have been warning about. Now a state agency is adding some data. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
A recent study by the Wisconsin Department of Administration projects a decline of nearly 200,000 Wisconsin residents by 2050. The report attributes the decrease in declining birth rates and the aging of the baby boom generation. While some counties like Dane are expected to grow, others, particularly in the northern part of the state, could see population declines of 15% or more. That could potentially add on to workforce shortages and create problems for those setting school budgets.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is hosting a free fishing weekend Saturday and Sunday to share the fun and excitement of winter fishing. During free fishing weekend, anglers of all ages can wet a line in any Wisconsin waters open to fishing without a fishing license, trout stamp, or salmon stamp. All other 2024-25 hook and line regulations, including bag limits, size limits, and species restrictions, remain in effect. While most trout streams are open during the catch-and-release season on free fishing weekend, there are trout streams, spring ponds, and lakes that are closed to fishing. Please review the trout regulations or check with your local biologist if you have questions about specific waters. For trout streams that are open, only artificial lures are allowed, and anglers must release all trout caught. If you plan to keep fish, review the DNR's safe eating guidelines to stay informed of potential consumption advisories impacting some water bodies throughout the state. Ruby's Pantry is this Saturday in Wisconsin Rapids. You can stock up on food and save on your grocery budget on January 18th. Ruby's Pantry will be at Pitch Early Learning Center from 8 to 9:15 a.m. Cash pay bundles are $25 and approximately 70 pounds of food. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers packed their bags. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers were cleaning out their lockers after losing to the Eagles on Sunday. Green Bay lost at least four players on offense due to injury during the game, including left guard Elgton Jenkins and center Josh Myers, who suffered a fractured leg. The backups committed some costly penalties that wiped out some first downs. Right guard Sean Ryan.
Yeah, it's, seeing those fucking little yellow flags on the floor really just kind of kills your vibe, but you got to be able to just move on and flush it. And, we had a couple holdings that negated huge gains for us. And the only thing to do about that, I guess, is just be better.
Elsewhere in the NFL, the Chicago Bears are set to meet with Mike McCarthy about their head coaching position. McCarthy fired by the Cowboys after five seasons in Dallas. NBA, the Bucks are back home tonight. They host the Sacramento Kings in Milwaukee. The Badgers are at the Kohl Center against the Ohio State Buckeyes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear but not as cold tonight, low 0 to 5 below. For tomorrow, increasing clouds, a chance of flurries in the afternoon, highs in the mid-20s. Continued warming Thursday and Friday, temps well into the 30s before much colder air returns for the weekend. Currently, we're at 8.
Have you listened to Community Stories yet? The show that features voices from right here in our community? Well, for the month of January, you can catch up on podcasts of past episodes on our website at civicmedia.us. The show's going on vacation for a month, but Community Stories will return in February, tanned and well-rested. Okay, maybe not, but the stories will be fresh and engaging. Keep your dial tuned to WFHR for updates on the new schedule, guests, and stories from right here in our community.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our old friend Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, is along and helps us answer the question, what's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this January 14th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. Welcoming into the studio, our good friends from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. We have Promise Bakken with us, Marketing and Communication Director. How you doing, Promise?
I'm doing good.
Good
How
to
are
have you?
You.
Good, doing good. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year's.
And we also want to welcome in a friend of ours, a new friend of ours. We have Cammon Hofer in with us. She is with the Heart of Wisconsin Leadership Class and Program. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking with her in just a little bit, but thanks for being here, Cammon.
Thank you.
And Promise, I want to kick things off right away with you talking about some upcoming events. We have Networking at Night right around the corner.
Yeah, so we have Networking at Night on Monday, January 20th. This time we are having it at Houdini's. I'm pretty excited about that. I like Houdini's a lot. It's a great bar and they have great food. So it's going to be from 5 to 7. And this is one of those events that are open to members or future members. So it's an opportunity for people to gather and network with other members within the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce and make new business connections and grow their business in a more casual setting, so, you know, more laid back. There's also going to be raffle prizes, and I think he's going to put out some snacks too. So I think he's going to do like chips and snacks and stuff like that. So he is located on 2010 Chestnut Street in Wisconsin Rapids. And then again, that's at Houdini's, 5 to 7 p.m. on January 20th, which is on Monday.
Well, these are a lot of fun, these events and everything. I want, especially to people who haven't attended one yet, to you know, check these out. It's a great opportunity, not only getting out of the house this time of year, and, and you know, we live in shacks. We go from one shack to the next. Doing the, you know, changes it up a little bit, gets you out there. But one other thing that I noticed, and I actually had somebody that attended one of these a while back talking about this, that there's not a lot of enough opportunities in life right now for businesses to really be out there in the public.
Yeah.
And to have your business out there to represent that and to be involved with other people that are working in maybe different you know, businesses or similar businesses. And just that opportunity to share information. It's not an email back and forth. It's not a text chain or something. It's just two people talking. For one, that information can sometimes be a little more detailed and you can ask follow-up questions that much faster. But also just building those people skills that I think that we can all use a little bit of a refresher on from some sometimes. And then as I've heard from younger guests, it's very helpful for them just that interacting, getting more and more reps, interacting with people.
Yep, I definitely agree. We've been seeing an increase in attendance. So if you're a business owner in the area or if you are thinking about starting a business, definitely come in and check it out. It's free to attend, but bring some business cards so you can do some networking.
And would also recommend to anybody out there, if you're a business and you would like to host one of these, I think that's a great idea. Houdini's is a perfect spot and it's a great example of where this is a local establishment. It's a bar. It's been around a long time. It's got its regulars, I'm sure. Why not have new regulars? Why not bring in new people? You're advertising your business with this event while also having a chance to host and show people you know, what you can do as a business maybe for future events.
Well, speaking of hosting, so 2025 is pretty much booked. We do have a couple of months left open for hosts. I think it's July and October and December. And then all of 2026 is available. So we do have a bit of a wait list on there, but this is like getting high in demand from the businesses and our members. They want to host it because it does bring new faces to their businesses. Actually, one from last year wanted to reached out and wanted to do it again this year. So I might schedule her in for July. So we'll see. It'll be great.
It's great to hear, and it's great to hear that these are not only continuing through 2025, but just the popularity of them. Again, it's just a great opportunity for our community. Mm-hmm. The business aspects of this, we've talked about quite a bit. I think also just on a personal level, it's just great to be able to run into people and just have these events to look forward to for that. And I wanted to talk about the 77th Annual Meeting and Awards Banquet right around the corner. How is that going with a greatest radio announcer in central Wisconsin? How's that going? Or how about just Wisconsin Rapids? I don't know how specific I can get with this to where I can get an award promise, but that's where I'm going with it. That's what.
Well, we don't have one of those awards, unfortunately.
This event
is our way of recognizing and awarding members in the community for their achievements throughout the year. So we have, you know, member of the year, large business of the year, small business of the year, et cetera, et cetera. We do have a business professional of the year. So those nominations for those awards have been closed, though. So maybe for 2026, we can get you in there.
Yeah, we'll look for that. 2026. I'll work out my speech.
Yeah.
It's such a cool event. We love events like this that not only celebrate our area, but celebrate individuals and businesses in our area. Mm-hmm. It's one of the cool things I think that being a part of the chamber does for you is not only enhance your business and, you know, give you a bigger audience, but the idea of being able to flip that and be a thank you to that business or to that person for not just the business that they're running, but putting into their community.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I've seen a lot of the great stuff that our members have done throughout the year, and I've seen some of the nominations so far, and I'm super excited for those to get finalized, and we can start making the awards and start, you know, getting everything all prepped and set up for that. This year we are having it at Hotel Mead. It's March 6th, and a pre-registration is required because there's an RSVP that went out, so you have to select your menu, your food that you want to eat for the night. So it's at Hotel Mead March 6th. The doors will open at 5. You do have to be pre-registered and get all that information back to us. And I would highly recommend that if you, like, if anybody's going to attend, we're all dressing up this year.
Nice.
So put on your suit and put on your cocktail dress because that's the theme we're kind of going for. So I'm excited about that as well because there's not very many opportunities in town where you can get all dressed up and, you know, have a night out with dinner and, you know, a presentation. And Hotel Mead's doing some really great things this year too, so I'm really excited about it.
I am one of the last people to go to when it comes to style. I still dress like a teenager, and I know it, and I own that. But I clean up all right, and boy, it is a nice opportunity to be able to do that.
Yeah,
that you're so right about that. We don't have enough opportunities to kind of just put on our fines and you know and go out. It feels good, especially this time of year, to be able to do that.
Yeah,
but it's also one of those things again where we were talking about with previous events and almost anything we talk about promise. Here is another networking opportunity. Here is another chance to run into people you may not run into all the time while not only celebrating our area and these businesses, but maybe doing a little business yourself.
Yep.
Are you, is the chamber still taking nominees? Are you guys still taking names for these awards?
Nope. Nominations have been closed for about closed 2 weeks now. Yeah. So they're closed. But we are still accepting sponsorships. I know we have a few sponsorships left in our silver and bronze category, and then we are also still accepting, you know, raffle basket donations for, and that's a great way of getting your name out there as well. Every single raffle basket we get, you can put your logoed merch in there, your business card in there, and another great thing that I've been seeing a lot recently too is a gift certificate, because then that kind of guarantees somebody's going to come to your business eventually at some point to redeem that gift certificate. So those are some things that you can participate in, or you can attend it as well. But if you are looking at wanting to sponsor or donate anything, you can reach out to Lacey Alling. She is our events and engagement director, and she can be directly contacted at 715-422-4859.
And I'm sorry, I meant sponsorship opportunities, not nominees, but that's great to hear that people can still be a part of the event in that way. And I should mention as well, all these events we talk about have a raffle Have a raffle, whatever you're doing. Even if it's a little kid's lemonade stand, have a raffle attached to that thing, and people are going to attend.
Yep.
They just do well. They do well. Mm-hmm. And that's also a tip to any businesses out there as well. Sponsoring those raffle baskets, or as Promise mentioned, adding to those baskets only helps enhance your business.
Yeah.
I wanted to also get into a couple of other random items that we have coming up, and wanted to mention going back a little bit to other October member of the month. It looks like, or a different member.
Yeah, that's a.
I thought it was a.
January member of the month.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, WHAM Incorporated. So WHAM Incorporated is owned and operated by Phil Hartley. He also owns Quality Plus Printing over on E Street there. So he does a lot of like print, you know, printing and stuff. So then he expanded on it and started printing on t-shirts and cups and a whole bunch of cool things that he's got going on over there right now. He does blankets, bags. There's just so many things that he can do. One of the things that he did recently is he started what they call a swear shirt.
Yeah.
And I have one. So hopefully it turns out the way I wanted it to, but I'm pretty excited about the things that he's doing over there because it's custom printed apparel. So if you don't want to order some of that stuff online and have it, you know, be shipped and then you have to send it back, you can just go over to Quality Plus Printing and get something printed with the WHAM Incorporated. But he is located on 3515 E Street South, or you can visit him online at QPP or QPprinting.com.
Yeah, we are very, very familiar with Mr. Phil Hartley.
Yeah,
Phil joins us every Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday and our morning show. The Quality Plus Printing is a sponsor of our Playmaker show that we have 3 days a week as well. And just in general, I think that most people know Phil. But if you've been in the community for a week, you probably know Phil. But while we talk a lot about Quality Plus Printing, WHAM Incorporated is a very fun side business that he is doing. One of the other cool things that they are doing there, and we use this as an opportunity to let all the audience know, we are looking for hometown heroes at WHAM Incorporated.
Oh, yeah.
If you can put together a couple sentences about somebody that you may know that you think deserves to be highlighted, get it to Phil and the gang. You can direct message it to them on their Facebook pages, or if you get it to me, I'll make sure it gets to Phil. And you can direct message me that way if you'd like. And boom, just like that, they get their hero of the month, and they get on a t-shirt, and they're doing some really fun, cool things with that. Not only enhancing our community, but and highlighting some of these individuals, but also again highlighting their business and giving another opportunity to get that logo out there and get it in front of people's faces.
Yep.
Another cool thing that they're doing is the swear shirt. I got one of those too. it is a great idea. It's a great idea. Yeah. There's just so many fun things that they're doing over there. While we have shared a couple of ideas and a couple of thoughts, I know our audience. They are a creative group, so they're gonna throw a curveball at Phil. He wants it.
Yeah.
Encourage you to throw a curveball at Phil.
Yeah.
Encourage you to give them any kind of thoughts or ideas you have. Yeah. If it can be done, they're going to figure it out.
Oh, I was just going to say that actually, like if you have any idea and you don't know where to go, he would be a great first stop because I'm sure they can figure something out.
Yeah, and it's something too that you're actually helping Phil in that regard too because they want to expand in the sense of like learning and doing more. Mm-hmm. And they know their stuff. They've got some amazing people working over there. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I know that talking with Phil, they like to be challenged. They like to have new things because that just sets the bar for them and shows what not only they're capable of, but helps that team learn more and more about that this industry and printing in general.
Yeah.
I'd like to put this on my mug. I'd like to put this on my bag. Go ahead and give them a try.
Yep.
And a great choice. Great choice, WHAM Incorporated. Well, again, find out more about them at 3515 A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. And QPprinting.com is the website. Be sure to check that out as well. They got a great Facebook page. Be sure to follow that page. Every once in a while, they post a picture of that cute baby.
Yeah.
That is always great to have pop up in your time feed. Yeah. It's a good one. Promise, thank you so much for all that. Appreciate it. If you don't mind, I do want to talk with Cammon a little bit here. And Cammon, you are with our Wood County Health Department.
Yes. Yep. I work for the WIC program specifically, so Women, Infants, and Children within the Health Department.
Right away, want to thank you so much for the work that you do with the department and for our community. We are gigantic fans over here of our health department. We like to shout you guys out whenever we have a chance and appreciate the work that you guys have not only been doing recently, but over the last handful of years, especially. I know how difficult it's been in that industry. I wanted to talk a little bit about the ACE Leadership Program and your participation in that, in particular, the diversity and inclusion session. You had that go on a little while ago.
Yes, yes. So we have sessions once a month. That diversity and inclusion session was back in December. So each session, we have a day-long presentations that we go through. And each session, there also is mid-state component to it as well. Now they also have a credit going along with this program. So Ted Melby is our presenter from mid-state. He actually presented a little bit on conflict resolution as well as emotional intelligence to work on furthering leadership skills in those areas. So it's important to be able to resolve conflict as a leader. So having those skills and as far as the emotional intelligence component, just understanding that everybody has different emotional intelligence. And also we were able to look in and into our own skill set and just figure out where we are at with our emotional intelligence. So being aware of our own emotional awareness, managing one's emotions, having the empathy, and then also being able to coach others' emotions. Mm-hmm. So those sessions are always very valuable in furthering leadership skills. And I know that is new to this year, having that additional mid-state component.
Mm-hmm.
So we also had sessions for several different cultures that we have in our community. Kazua Tao spoke from the Southwood County Cultural Coalition, and she also spoke more specifically to the Hmong culture. So right now, the Southwood County Cultural Coalition is working on a current project. They're going to the Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School and working with a Hmong youth group, teaching sixth graders more about the Hmong culture and the Hmong New Year. And in 2025, they're hoping to expand to Indigenous and Hispanic population as well. So a lot of great work that they're doing. In addition, she spoke more on the Hmong culture. There was some really interesting points she made about Hmong culture that is important for us as a community to just be aware of. She spoke a little bit about how in the Hmong culture, they don't talk a lot about feelings. Boys are sort of seen to, they shouldn't cry or show feelings. So not much talked about, or it's more taboo as well, or there's stigma towards topics like domestic violence or mental health. So those topics can be harder for them to talk about. It's more taboo. They spoke a little bit about eye contact, so being aware that they may or may not be less comfortable having eye contact when communicating. And then that handshakes are okay, but a hug or a tap might not be as okay in their culture. They spoke about how especially a tap on the head can be very taboo because their connection to the spirit is through their head. So just some really interesting information that I think it's important to be aware of when working in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We also had Yesenia Mesa and Fidel Perez that spoke about Hispanic culture. So they spoke about kind of how their family is set up, big families, big households, so multiple generations within a household. They tend to take care of their parents, keep family close, very family-oriented, a lot of respect for their elders. They also spoke about some different celebrations they have in their culture. So Dia de los Muertos, they have an altar for food and drink that they will have out to honor the dead. They also talked about some of the other celebrations that they have that have been Americanized. So it was really interesting when they talked about that. Cinco de Mayo is popular in, you know, in a very Americanized as their actual Independence Day is on September 16th.
Mm-hmm.
They talked a little bit about piñatas, too, which was interesting how we have also Americanized that. Mm-hmm. So the meaning behind the piñata is the seven star points represents the seven deadly sins. They talked about the bright colors representing temptation. the family guides the person with a stick to get rid of the sins, and then the candy falling would represent the forgiveness of sins. So really big meaning of behind a piñata, yeah. But then you think about, you know, in America, it's just, you know, hit a piñata, mm-hmm. candy falls. Yay. Yeah. So it's just really interesting when they talked about some of that as well. Mm-hmm. Lastly, we also had a representative from the Ho-Chunk tribe come and talk a little bit about their tribe. So it's actually divided up into 12 clans he spoke about. They have, each clan has certain responsibilities within the community. So, for example, they have a Thunder Clan. They are the leader chiefs. They have a Warrior Clan, the people of war. Eagle Clan is protector of chiefs. Bear Clan, the enforcers, police of tribe. Wolf, the Wolf Clan, focused on the safety and health of the community. So, I mean, they have all sorts of clans that were responsible for mm-hmm. different tasks in the community.
Yeah.
So he talked about that, and that was very interesting as well. Mm. Just to learn more about that side of their culture. So this session is great. We had a lot of lessons learned to just be aware of different cultural differences in our community. Since our community does have all these different cultures in it, mm-hmm. it can be really helpful in my work in the WIC program as mm-hmm. well, because I do work with all sorts of different families from different cultures as well. So it's helpful to build trust when we are working with families, building rapport, yeah. just having an idea of their background. And mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to know everything about every culture yeah. and every person, but just understanding that everybody has differences and being aware of that.
You know, first off, I got to say, Cameron, you just knocked it out of the park. Like, nice job. Like, that was great. That was yeah. really good. That was awesome. That was a couple of really good minutes of content. We've only got about a minute or so left. But in that, I did want to touch on so many of the things that you mentioned there. Not only how much it must be helpful in your job, but I can't think of an industry where it couldn't be beneficial. And I can't think of a life that wouldn't be benefited from it. You know, when I first moved to this area, there weren't, and still isn't really a whole lot of a Jewish population. And my mother and I are pretty much it. So in grade school and in high school, I should say, whenever Hanukkah came around, I had to go up there and tell everybody what Hanukkah was. I've been told over the years many times how much that is beneficial to people, whether it's my Italian or my Egyptian heritage. Sharing those things not only like lets people know more about those, but the thing that I hear from so many people is, it helps them think and appreciate their own culture mm-hmm. and in many ways, and want to look more into that some ways too. This helps create more empathy in our community too, in our society. Empathy leads to understanding, which leads to a lot more, I think, conversation and just interesting conversation. All of that being said, this is very beneficial to your job in particular and many going forward, I would think. Mm-hmm. I can't thank you enough for all the notes you took on this and the great details you gave us on this. And promise, this really speaks to why this program is so great and why so many people out there are getting their people involved in it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I myself am a graduate of mm-hmm. of this program, and I've found it to be very useful throughout the years since I've been in it. And I love seeing how each group from year after year is so diverse, and there's different personalities, and they come together and they work on projects and they make connections that way, and they grow their leadership skills. And the connections that I made during my time, I still talk to those people and reach out to them and, hey, what about this? What about mm-hmm. that? And it's really great to feel like you have a counterpart out there somewhere, even though they're not in the same office as you.
Yeah. And regardless of how cultured you are or mm-hmm. aren't, we all could learn more. We all could have a little more empathy. And mm-hmm. these classes will not only create some of that, but as you mentioned there, and as we've talked about throughout this whole conversation, is the other more opportunities for you to run into people, face-to-face conversations, maybe make some new friends, along with business connections and all of that.
Yeah, well, the great thing about this, I was teasing my boss. I said I wanted to take it over again because there is the accreditation with it now.
Right.
So you get a college credit, and mm-hmm. it makes it more legitimate, you know, and it's I want to be able to put that on my resume.
Yeah. And a big thank you to Midstate about that.
Yeah.
And we encourage you, if you have any follow-up questions or want to know more, we encourage you to go to the Chamber's website. That is WisconsinRapidsChamber.com, WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. Thank you both so much for being here. Appreciate the time, and have a great day, you two.
Thanks.
Thank you. Well, more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Klayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A recent study by the American Journal of Medicine found that alcohol-related deaths more than tripled in Wisconsin between 1999 and 2020. According to the report, there were 356 alcohol-related deaths in the state in 1999, but nearly 1,100 in 2020. Those numbers include both short-term causes like alcohol poisoning and long-term conditions like liver disease. Alcohol-related deaths across the entire country doubled over the same time span, showing the Midwest and Wisconsin specifically outpacing the rest of the country. Wisconsin gets a C for its gun laws. That's according to the Giffords Law Center to prevent gun violence. With the balance of the legislature changing, some advocates hope gun laws get more attention. The Giffords Law Center compares states' gun laws with their states' deadly outcomes, and according to Lindsay Nichols from the Giffords Law Center, they find the same results every time. The stronger a state's gun laws, the lower the death rate, and the weaker the laws, the more people die.
We know that these gun laws work, and there really is no reason why legislators shouldn't be taking action to prevent these tragedies.
While Wisconsin has enacted basic gun safety laws, she notes the state could also pass bans on assault weapons or high-capacity magazines or lengthen the waiting period for a firearms purchase. She says the state could also benefit from red flag laws. Despite public pressure for new gun safety laws in 2020, Wisconsin has not passed any significant gun legislation in years. Democrats have tried unsuccessfully to introduce at least 30 gun safety measures since 2019. You can see the musical Seven Brides for Seven Brothers on stage at Bing Millen Library on Friday. Local teen actors will perform two shows on January 17th in the Fine Arts Center, the first show at 2 and the second at 6. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's one thing not to advance in a nationally televised singing competition show. It's another thing to storm off when you're eliminated. And it's still another thing to do it dressed as a toad. Macy Gray is a Grammy-winning artist. On The Masked Singer, where her identity was concealed, she was referred to as Toad in a Hole, also known as a disgusting name for a breakfast plate. Gray eventually came back for the Q&A where she said, "You know, I've been singing for a long time and now I'm a toad." Ouch. At least she got paid. Timothée Chalamet will not only host Saturday Night Live in January, he will also be the musical guest. SNL announced the actor will make his third appearance as host January 25th. In addition to receiving rave reviews for his acting in the Bob Dylan biopic A Complete Unknown, the actor has also been lauded for his singing. Chalamet says he spent 5 years preparing for the role, which included singing lessons, and was adamant about not lip-syncing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear but not as cold tonight, lows 0 to 5 below. For tomorrow, increasing clouds, a chance of flurries in the afternoon, highs in the mid-20s. Continued warming Thursday and Friday, temps well into the 30s before much colder air returns for the weekend. Currently, we're at 8.
The Badgers.
Beats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir. Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday morning, life after an election loss. The last thing some candidates should do is walk away. There are lots of opportunities to serve your community.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And welcoming into the studio, our good friend David Farnborough, and it's time for Realty Radio. This is a fun show we get together every month, get to talk local real estate with our good friend David Farnborough. And David, thanks a lot for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here, and I want to wish you a Happy New Year, because this is our first show of 2025.
Happy New Year to you, too. Appreciate you being here, David. And speaking of the new year, that's kind of where we're going to kick things off, discussing the new year and what 2025 has in store. Where do you want to start with that, David?
Right. Well, I'll start by looking back at the last year. And we have had some good statistics. Not everything has been published for the whole of last year, but looking at what we have, it looks like the housing market in Wisconsin Rapids performed pretty well, as did all the other local municipalities. So we're doing well in Rome, well in Stevens Point, Nicoosa, Port Edwards, Marshfield, Warsaw, Vesper, all the local places in central Wisconsin had very healthy housing markets. We saw increases in house prices more or less across the board of between about 6.5% and 8%. So there's nowhere where house prices weren't going up by more than inflation in our region. We saw a little bit more houses coming on the market than we had in the previous year. My thinking about that is that there were probably people who maybe had investment properties that they'd been hanging on to, and they thought, well, prices are doing well, maybe this is the time to divest myself of that and get some capital, but not a huge amount. So that was up about 10%. So we're still in a bit of a squeeze with having more buyers than we have homes on the market. Mm. And that's likely to continue to drive prices. We have seen different figures nationwide. There are some cities and some states where houses are not doing as well as they are here. But what I'm concerned with really is what's going on in the central Wisconsin area.
And David, can this be something that we can build on for 2025, how things have gone in the previous year? Is real estate, that industry similar to that? Is it like that?
It is to an extent, unless you get a hiccup. And we've had hiccups in the past. There have been huge economic changes, you know, downturns, recessions, also the pandemic, which have had large and unpredictable effects. Now, I don't see anything like that happening. People have asked me questions like, well, with a change of president, will there be a difference? And I don't really see anything from that side impacting what happens in our local housing market. When we heard what both presidential candidates said, they were both talking about increasing the housing stock because they had both been told that there were problems in that area. But as far as I can see, nobody, although politicians at all levels, local, regional, state, and national, have plans to ease the housing market by building more houses, or, you know, with various plans to maybe cut a bit of red tape to make building houses easier. I don't see that anything is going to make enough of a difference, certainly not in the next couple of years.
Well, how does that in the outlook look for interest rates, house prices locally, statewide, some of those notes?
Well, interest rates, again, we're looking at small changes, not seismic changes. You know, unless we wake up one morning and the stock market's crashed, then, or Russia's invaded or something.
Kind of changes all this whole
right.
conversation.
Then you could be looking at something totally different. But all the indicators are we're looking at small changes in interest rates, you know, maybe a quarter of a percent here or there. And it's not looking like we're going to suddenly go back to 3% loans. And really, if we did, that may cause another brief bubble, but then we'd have to recover from that as well. So I'm quite happy to see it steady.
Yeah.
So people know what they're going to get. You're looking at, you know, something between 6.5% and 7.5% in most cases for your loans.
And I know that a topic that has been a part of this segment, whether it was with JR or you or anybody that we've really talked to, is the inventory and needing more of that. How is that looking in 2025?
Well, there's, like I said, there's nothing really that's big that's going to happen in those terms. Locally, I do see a few new house building projects. Some of them look pretty impressive. I know that over in the Robinson Park area, Roosh are building some very nice looking homes. Now, I don't know what their plans are for them because I know they have rental properties, but looking at the type of homes, I believe those will be coming on the market for sale. But you're talking about, I think, 8 to 10 homes. And similarly, there's the big development by Anchor Bay where they've got a lot of riverside homes planned. And those, I'm sure, will be beautiful and very high priced. But the volume and the rate at which they're being built is not really going to make a significant difference to what we're doing when we're going out and looking for a house in Wisconsin Rapids.
And this kind of leads us into the upcoming year and whether it's going to be good for buyers to move this year. For those that, can't afford, you know, they have to move this year, that's certainly a non-starter. But there are plenty of people out there that maybe have been thinking about this or kicking the can down the road or working on it. Should they look at this year, maybe looking into, making this a bigger plan in 2026? How is it looking for that?
Well, like I said, there are always unpredictable things, but from everything we can tell, we're not going to see any major difference except that prices are going to continue to go up by more than the rate of inflation. So if you're thinking of putting it off for a year, then in a year's time, you might be buying a more expensive home than you would be buying now. Now, that might suit your personal needs because you might have a job where you're likely to be earning a lot more next year. And if that's where you are, that might be what's good for you. Having said that, the thing that mostly drives people to move home is their own personal circumstances. So if you need an extra bedroom because your baby's on the way, then probably not a good idea to put it off and have a cramped situation any longer than you need to. Or if you need to downsize, or if you're thinking that you're maybe in your 70s or 80s and you want a place that's all on one level, then sometimes those things are best not put off, because the older you get, the harder it gets to move house.
And when it comes to as far as whether or not to buy or not, that's something that they can reach out to you about, David, find out, get a little information on.
Oh, absolutely they can. I'm happy to talk to people whether or not they're actually going to be my clients for buying or selling. I'm happy to have a chat. Feel free to contact me on Facebook, or you can just text me or call me. I'll be giving my number at the end of the show. And I'll be happy to talk about whether it might make sense for you to buy this year, or perhaps later on this year if you don't want to move while it's still a little bit chilly.
And keep that in mind when it comes to the other side of this, whether it will be a good year to sell or not for those who trade up, kind of on that part of things, David.
Yes, that's right. There are different circumstances in play for people who are selling. Now, I have said that there is a shortage of houses, and this does give what we call a seller's market, but it's not so much of a seller's market as some people believe. So I have seen a lot of people pricing their houses unrealistically because they think, oh, house prices have gone up, let's just stick another $50,000 on the price ticket. And you can't do that, really. You have to price your house realistically, even if the price will be more than it was last year. It won't be 50% more. It'll only be 8% more than it would have been last year. So yeah, if you can hang on to your house for another year, you might get a little bit more money. But again, we're not talking about huge amounts. Also, if you're buying and selling, that will depend really on whether you're trading up or whether you're trading down. And that will affect the outcome as well. So if you're buying now, you're going to get a little bit more than you did last year, but you're going to be pay it for your house you're selling. But the house you're buying, you're going to be paying a little bit more for as well. Now, if you're buying a house that's, say, twice the price of the one you're selling, then you're going to lose a little bit on that because the prices have gone up. But if you're downsizing, then you're going to be doing a little bit better because of the price increase.
One thing that I hadn't really thought much about until kind of prepping for one of our shows a little while back, David, was the idea that you have to be patient in this industry. I imagine for you in your position, but certainly for buyers and sellers of homes, it's one of those things where you probably want to be able to get this done as quick as possible, but it's something that you really need to be able to take a step back, take your time with, approach in a strategic manner.
I would always advise people to do that. Once in a while, I do get a client who comes along, they see a house and they want to buy it. They put an offer down, the offer's accepted, and they're in there. I had it happen once where it was 20 days from when the client first walked into my office to when they were moving in to their house. And that is very unusual. And that was a cash buyer as well. The more common thing is that most people will see about 5 to 10 houses before they find one they really like. Sometimes they will put an offer in, that first offer won't be accepted. And then armed with the experience, they'll maybe put in another offer on a different place, and that will be the one that they eventually buy. And that process can take a little bit of time, but it is worth making sure that you've got somewhere that really feels like home. Don't just buy any old house, buy somewhere that can be a home rather than just a house. And for me as a realtor, it does demand a lot of patience. I've had clients who come to me and they say, well, I'd like to see a few houses, and they see quite a few and then decide they're going to take a break and come back to it in a year's time. And that's okay, because in a year's time, I'll have a note on my calendar to call that person and say, hey, you said you were going to wait here. I just wanted to check whether the time was right. So that's the way I treat people. You know, for me, they're not just clients for one transaction. They're going to be my clients for life, or that's my aim anyway. And so if somebody doesn't find that this is the right time or the right home, then I'm prepared to wait for when I can help them find that perfect place.
There is certainly in our society, and it's happening more and more, where I pay for something and I want it there 5 seconds later. Well, you know, there's a lot of that going on, especially with online ordering and some of that. This is not that. This is one of those topics. There are a handful of these. For me, just as an example, if I go to a sit down restaurant, I don't mind if it takes a little while to get here. I want them to take their time with it. That's my food. I actually don't need it to show up 2 seconds after I order it. That right. makes me wonder if it's been under a heat lamp or something like that. It's a similar situation where that patience is going to be rewarded, whether it is buying or selling your home. You want to do this the right way and listening to a real realtor when it comes to that and following that lead.
That's right. And it is a bit of a learning process. And I should emphasize that it's not just first-time buyers who need to learn, because if you've bought a house 5 years ago or 10 years ago, then the process now is different from how it was then. There's a lot of things that have changed. There's changes to the procedure. There's changes to the law, changes to building codes. And all those things mean that it's likely to be a different situation from when you last bought or sold.
We are speaking with David Farnborough in Realty Radio, our segment we get together for every month. And David, before we get into our our good cause of the month, I did have another thought going into 2025 I wanted to bring up with you. And I'm curious, because as we talk more and more about real estate, I notice at the industry that the tech world kind of it helps it out and works with it a bit. And I'm curious, in 2025, are you thinking or hearing anything else that's coming from real estate that, you know, it was some years back where people could look up online, and I could look at a place in California if I want to online and get a whole walkthrough of it. So some of that technology that came around. Is there anything you're hearing or seeing that could make be additions coming forward in 2025, or just things that you'd even like to see?
Well, I do see more people doing what I've been doing for a number of years anyway, which is fully implementing the tech that we have. So the way that I work is I operate a paperless office. Send people documents for signing electronically, so we don't need to mess around with me driving over to your place or you coming to see me. You can sign something in 5 or 10 minutes on your phone or on your computer, and that way you may be ahead of somebody else who's putting in an offer. So I already use a lot of that technology. On the sales side, I do use virtual tours and 3D cameras, as well as drone technology where appropriate. I do use AI cautiously where that is appropriate as well. What I'm seeing is that a lot of my professional colleagues, my fellow realtors, are also starting to use AI more and more, and they're starting to use more of those photography techniques. And I think that's only going to get more and more efficient. I think mm-hmm. people are going to find new ways to use AI.
That's a great way to put it.
That we haven't thought of.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it. I agree more. I couldn't agree more.
One of the things that I'm being offered all the time is an AI assistant. Mm-hmm. And I have resisted that because I don't want people calling up a chat on my website and talking to a bot. Mm-hmm. I want them to talk to me personally.
You know, AI can be, and it already is and will be, a good assistant in some ways, but in other things, it couldn't be more useless.
Yes.
Especially with the industry that we're both in, whether it's entertainment or radio or whether it's real estate. These are both industries where the personal touch or that personal interaction is so vital and so needed, especially when it comes to questions being asked or just even presenting something. I think that the human and touch is what really oftentimes really brings it home for people and makes it personal. Whereas AI and some of those things, they may get some information that they can use, but it doesn't really hit home. It doesn't register the same as hearing a real voice and talking to somebody face to face, especially with one of the biggest purchases any of us make in buying a home or selling a home.
That's right. And it is no substitute for a human being in face-to-face interactions or telephone interactions. But I've also noticed that it is extremely good at handling vast quantities of data. So if you're pulling together statistics, then it is very, very good at doing that. It's good at giving us or at manipulating data for market analysis purposes. And that's one of the ways in which I use it, because otherwise I'm going to be sitting down working on spreadsheets for hours.
Yeah.
Whereas if I can get an AI to take care of that cautiously, as I say, you have to check their workings, because we know that the AIs can produce pictures of human beings with six fingers. Then that's going to make me more efficient.
And we don't need Indigo Montoya chasing him down. We don't need. I had to do that. I had to. We are going to wrap up with our good cause of the month. And David, what do you got for us?
Well, this month, Rapids Homes is supporting Special Olympics Wisconsin. It's a great cause which helps a lot of people locally who have intellectual disabilities. And for those of you who don't know, what it does is it really helps people to achieve their full potential. So they might be someone who doesn't think of themselves in a sporting competition. And this teaches them, well, you can be involved in this. You can achieve your best, you can beat other people, you can have camaraderie and friendship, and you can be included, you can be part of this group. So for all those reasons, I think Special Olympics Wisconsin does a great job in helping our local people.
They're wonderful individuals. Some of the greatest people you'll ever work with or be around are the Special Olympics teams. And I know that the Polar Plunge is a big part of their promotions. I understand you're going to be doing something like this again, aren't you?
I will be, yeah.
You are doing it again.
Yes, I decided after I did it the second time a few years ago, I decided I was never going to do it again. And then I thought, I need a good cause for January. And the Polar Plunge was just there, and I thought, this is the one. And I've already had some very kind people sponsor me, but I'm going to ask if you can sponsor me as well. I don't mean you, James. I mean you listening on the radio, because it's something where it does support a lot of people right here in Wisconsin Rapids. And if you want to give me a little help on that. It's on my Facebook page, my Realtor Facebook page, which is just David Farnborough Realtor. And you can also go to the Special Olympics Wisconsin Rapids page and find me there.
And SpecialOlympics.org is the website if you want to find out more information about that or the Polar Plunge. And again, David, as you just were mentioning there, is that the best way to get in touch with you on your Facebook page?
That's one good way. The very best way is by texting me, 715-323-8594, because I can answer discreetly while I'm having lunch with someone, but not when I'm driving. I'm very careful with that. Or you can call me on that same number, although obviously if I'm already showing a house to someone, I won't be able to answer, but I will call you back as soon as I can.
And I do want to send a special shout out to David. You guys may not have heard behind the scenes here or anything, but around us, there's been a ton of distractions this show. We've just been rolling with it, just been locked in. I appreciate that. Appreciate the time with you, and looking forward to hanging out again next month for another edition of Realty Radio.
Thank you very much, James.
Have a good New Year's, David. Happy New Year's to you. And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Top of the show at 2 p.m. I dissect Jack Smith's January 6th insurrection report. You're not going to want to miss this lawyer lady breaking it down for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Todd Allbus Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Democrats grilled Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth about sexual assault allegations and his view on women in combat roles during a committee hearing today. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer raised concerns about Republicans' handling of Hegseth's FBI background check.
If Mr. Hegseth had nothing to hide, and if Republicans do indeed think he's qualified and ready for one of the most consequential jobs in the country, why is the chairman hell-bent to keep all relevant information out of the hands of his colleagues?
Strong winds have returned to the L.A. area, elevating the fire risk again. FEMA's Robert Fenton says financial help is on the way.
We will provide rental assistance for you based on the family composition and size of your house for up to 18 months.
CBS's Alexander Tin reports on a new study suggesting how deadly alcohol can be.
The risk of dying from alcohol goes from 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 100 after drinking slightly more than one drink of alcohol per day, according to a new federal review.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Dropping enrollment is a problem educators have been warning about. Now a state agency is adding some data. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
A recent study by the Wisconsin Department of Administration projects a decline of nearly 200,000 Wisconsin residents by 2050. The report attributes the decrease in declining birth rates and the aging of the